1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel and Iran are trading missile strikes after the U.S. bomb attacks on three Iranian nuclear facilities over the weekend. We heard from the U.N.'s atomic watchdog this morning. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
The quote here, given the explosive payload utilized and the extremely vibration-sensitive nature of those centrifuges down there, very significant damage is expected to have occurred.
Top Trump administration officials have insisted the U.S. attacks were not intended to oust the Ayatollah, but President Trump may have a different perspective. CBS's Natalie Brand.
He says it's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be regime change?
Scorching temperatures will spread out in the east today. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano.
Today, 96 in New York, 99 in Hartford, and 100 degrees down in D.C.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. High heat and humidity still rage, with heat advisories remaining through tonight. The heat index will once again reach the low 100s. And now the threat of severe weather moves in, and the Storm Prediction Center has us in a slight risk. We've got a cold front that is sweeping across the state, which is the reason why thunderstorms are going to become more numerous and widespread. And by tonight, it looks to line up and pack the risk of high winds, which could gust up to 70 miles per hour, causing some scattered damage. It's also going to cool our temperatures down as it stalls over the state, which is going to bring some heavy rainfall and training storms raining down over the same area over and over again, causing the potential for flooding later this week. Widespread inch of rain is expected, and a good 3 to 5 inches is possible in spots by the end of this week. So stay dry and don't forget the umbrella. Also, be on the lookout for pavement buckling today. Lisa Hale explains.
When weather conditions go from cool to extremely hot quickly, the slabs of pavement in the road could begin to expand and push against each other. If the pressure gets high enough, the pavement can buckle and create an unexpected bump or dip in the road. Residents should remember to buckle up, keep their eyes on the road, and watch for slowing traffic and roadside workers.
And the Wisconsin State Assembly voted unanimously to increase penalties for people found guilty of sextortion last week, named Braden's Law in memory. The law would allow sextortion perpetrators to be charged with felony murder if their victim commits suicide. The charges that would most accurately apply to the crime currently include a maximum sentencing of only 3.5 years. The legislation is now with the state Senate, appears likely to advance to Governor Tony Evers. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers are back home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates. Beginning a 3-game series at American Family Field tonight, the Brewers went from a 9-3 lead over the Twins yesterday to a 9-8 win thanks to closer Trevor McGill, manager Pat Murphy.
When leverage guys come in with a big margin, sometimes things are different. That's kind of the story of that. But they held it together, and McGill was terrific. You know, McGill was terrific.
NBA, Kevin Durant traded to the Houston Rockets in a blockbuster deal with the Phoenix Suns. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 103-91, to win their first NBA title. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton suffering a torn Achilles in the first quarter. Racing, Alex Palou winning the XPEL Grand Prix at Road America on a very hot day at Elkhart Lake.
It was a crazy race. It was a crazy race for us. At moments, I thought we were losing a ton of positions, and we were making. It was a tough race for everybody.
That's Indy driver Alex Palou with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy. It's going to be warm and muggy again today with a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. And a couple of those could be strong to severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Be weather aware later today. High in the mid to upper 80s, but the heat index will be well into the 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 76.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like sweet. Back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman joins us to cover all the weekend news. And then we're talking ticks in hour number two with entomologist PJ Leash, the bug guy. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue, and good morning. Welcome back. It's a Monday morning, June 23rd, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy joining us from A1 in a moment. Brittany Merlot giving us the forecast coming up as well. First, a reminder, of course, we'd love to have you sign up for our newsletter over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of the homepage, where today Christina Lurie has a story in there about frozen custard. And what is it about Wisconsin that we love our frozen custard so much? I mean, we like our ice cream too, but custard's really kind of something unique to this neck of the woods. Parker, I was going to mention to you as well, and let's bring everybody in, John and Gordon, Brittany, and all that.
Big round table.
Let's fix things right on air here, okay? Let's have one of those pull the curtain back moments. So as I'm refilling my coffee in the kitchen, and up comes on my phone screen a thing from Spotify saying that, you know, the podcast episode has dropped for the 6 a.m. hour.
Yeah.
Now, the title for the 6 a.m. hour was Iran Surrenders, and then in brackets, sarcasm font. Mm-hmm. Well, we've learned today that if you put it in the brackets, it doesn't show up in the title. So right now, everybody thinks my first hour is about Iran surrendering.
I fixed
not
that.
Not even being sarcastic about it.
Wow. I fixed that.
Do you fix that already?
I thought so. I thought I fixed it right away.
Okay, well,
go Parker.
Well, I'll take a look and let you go.
I will.
Well, not now, but you know, at some point here, we're not going to lose that many more listeners a misleading title.
Yeah, but I'm all for good information, not misinformation, Pat.
Oh, listen to this.
Oh, that is wonderful. I'm feeling kid. Warm.
Spoken know, like a man straight out of college who still has. Like
hope,
great
optimism, yeah. desire, yeah, that's right, ambition, that's right. That's all right. The things I miss so much, along with my knees and one of my shoulders.
Oh, those are pretty much gone. Wow.
Yep. We'll ask the guys how they survived the heat here in a bit. But Brittany, since you got the forecast duties here, how did you beat the heat, or what did you do when you were out and about?
Yeah, so I went to the beach. I went to Lake Superior, the free AC, and tried to attempt to go in the water, but it was so cold there I didn't even need to.
No, there was no 100-degree heat index up there.
No, not at all. Okay. It was in the mid-50s. So
right. So you did it right. All right.
I did.
And it's moving on out of here now.
Yes, it is. Slowly but surely. Now, there still is, you know, heat advisories for a good 2/3 of the state, pretty much the eastern and southern parts. And that still stays there till about 7 o'clock this evening. So still feeling like the low 100s today, still reaching the low 90s for a good chunk of the state. But far northwest, your highs are going to be in the upper 70s. Yeah, some free AC is rolling through, but there's a price to pay to get the cooler temperatures here. And that's going to come in the form of storms. Some could be strong to severe, especially in areas towards La Crosse, into Wausau, then down into the Fox Valley, Madison, you're into that area as well. These storms want to start around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, probably around Winona, La Crosse area, Wausau. And they're going to start to build and become more numerous and maybe a little bit stronger with some high winds possible, too. And as there's going to be a line as it pushes in towards the Madison-Green Bay area. And this is only going to be while the daylight's out. Once it gets dark, this thing fizzles out and becomes just rain. So again, really high risk of some high winds and, of course, some heavy downpours. Hail and a tornado is possible, especially early as these storms start to form. But once they get into that line, I think that risk kind of goes away a little bit more. But still, storms sparking up around noon. Again, tomorrow, the front is going to be sitting over southern Wisconsin. It is going to continue some heavy rainfall. Then it lifts north as we go through the rest of the week. And then it starts to get out of here as we go into the weekend. So a lot of heavy rain, widespread 1 inch is expected. Some places could get around 3 to 5 inches by the time this week is over. So this
is, again, look for your target for mowing the lawn. And yes, make your target or you're going to regret it later on.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay. I see how this works. All right. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it so much. Coming up right after this program, Matt and Air on Air, Jane and Greg have Civic Media's new news director, Sholly Pittman, coming up at 9:30. Wisconsin bug guy, PJ Leisch from UW-Madison's entomology department. And, of course, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, their segment coming up at 10:50. On the Todd Alba Show, 2:30 this afternoon, he will welcome in State Senator Kelda Royce from the Joint Finance Committee. And the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon, Matt Rothschild is the guest co-host with Elon Berman from the American Foreign Policy Council with a follow-up on the U.S. attack on Iran over the weekend. The other fun things we get to do here on this program are talking to some of the people who cover Wisconsin in other local areas. We'll be talking to Earl Ingram on Wednesday, James Kelly, who does the northwestern part of the state. Jimmy Cuska talks to us from covering things over in the western Wisconsin area. And it's so great that on Monday mornings, we get to talk to our Madison morning folks, John and Gordy, who join us from Madison Studio A1. Guys, how are you?
Good.
Doing great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. How did you guys survive the heat?
Do you
thrive on it? Yes.
No, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to me. I'm really allergic to dew points. So anytime the dew points are high, you won't find me anywhere outside. I am indoors, air conditioning, fans blowing like crazy.
Yeah, so we actually ran into each other over the weekend in the Walmart parking lot on the west side of Madison, and we decided, we'd never talk to each other once the show was over. We usually just go our separate ways, and especially on the weekends, we don't really check in with each other. You know, we have other lives to lead, but we ran into each other, and we thought, let's go have a beer somewhere.
That's right.
So that's what we did. We went to a new place in town that a friend of ours owns, and we had a nice cold one. And so that took care of Saturday afternoon.
So you had a good time, because I see this unfolding. You get the beer, you each take a sip. You look at each other. It's like, that's why we don't do this. Okay.
Yeah. When you're doing a morning show, having a beer is like a real downer. You're ready to go to sleep right after the beer.
Exactly. We both needed a nap. After one beer. Yeah.
But the funny thing about the heat, though, I mean, it was really hot down here, 93 degrees. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, we were out there working in the yard really hard, doing a lot of gardening, making sure that, we're getting ready for the week-long rain. Our neighbors were doing the same damn thing. Everybody was outdoors working really hard in the yard with 93 degree temperatures. Ridiculous.
It's crazy. I know, because if it rains and you don't get things done, it just gets really out of hand. So no, I totally understand that part. We actually took the pontoon out for the first time this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And you kind of get, those little misters, the fans that, blow a little water on you. You get on the lake naturally. It was really windy, of course, all weekend. Mm-hmm. And so it really chops up the water. And you can get that speed just right that you can dunk all of your riders occasionally. You just hit the wave. They get the spray.
Beautiful.
9 out of 10 times they're mad at you. But this weekend it was like, thank you.
Yes,
I needed
please.
That. Yes, please. We go upriver to a place called the Mallard. It's just this little resort with six cabins and some campsites. But then it also has a bar. And so a lot of people come upriver or downriver and they park their boat in there and they go get a cold one and they sit around for a little bit. And it's got this area where once a year they dump a truckload of sand on the river. It's maybe 30 feet wide tops and maybe 8 feet you know, before the water, before you get to the river. And all of our grandkids over the years have always referred to it at a certain age, like the beach. They want to go to the beach. I just think that's adorable. I'm like, yeah. The beach. It's like this little pile of sand, you know, but it works for them. They go hunting for, you know, crayfish in the air or crawfish in the, you know, in the rocks and everything there.
Yeah.
And after all these years, they still keep coming back. These stupid crawfish. Like, have you not figured out the kids that are like biting your head off or whatever? They're just like, oh, look, my thing is and then it flops over dead. But, you know, it's
when the sand arrives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take a vacation.
when you hear the kids go, like, our yard is filled with, you know, squirrels and rabbits. It looks like something out of, you know, Snow White or whatever. But as soon as, you know, all the little kids show up, boom, they're gone. There is not a woodland creature to be found for the next, you know, 3 days. Until they realize that the coast is clear. But it was still fun. Well, I'm glad you guys beat the Heat. Now, Parker was telling us earlier, he was working the Madison Mallards game when that pitcher had a no-hitter the other day. Mm-hmm. And I've been to two Madison Mallards games. Love them. I've been to a few Eau Claire Express games as well. St. Paul Saint. I love Northwoods League baseball. I love minor league baseball. Mm-hmm. Is it something that you guys, I mean, the team's been around for a little while now, so do you go to a game or two here and there, or does that something you used to do? You don't do so much anymore?
Used to do a long time ago, the Madison Muskies.
Yeah, before they changed the name to the Mallards, or they got different management or owners or whatever. It was the Muskies, yeah. Okay. And we used to go to some of those games. We used to go to
those. Yeah, those were a lot of fun.
Haven't been out there for a while, though. But, yeah, I love minor league baseball. It's the way it should be. You know, it's families coming out to the ballpark and having a good time, and they have more family activities, you know, in and around the ballpark. So, yeah, it's a good time, though.
Yeah, in the old days with the Muskies, they used to make fun of their mascot. Yeah. And they had a lot, you know, they celebrated the craziness of a Muskie.
Sure.
And that was great. I don't know. Did they do that now with the Mallards at all?
I'm
not sure. I don't think so. Pat, are you familiar with the Savannah Bananas? Are you know about these guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I do. We were talking about them the other day.
Yeah, because I discovered I saw it on ESPN and I was just freaked out over it. I had no idea the Savannah Bananas were around. And who is the other team that they have?
I'm not sure who they play. Yeah.
For folks that don't know, would it be fair to call them animals, like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball?
Yes, that's it.
Exactly. Yes.
A lot of performance, but they're talented. They're not like they just happen to play baseball. It's like, no, they can actually play baseball and do all these crazy things.
Yeah, I saw the outfielder catch a fly ball out there with his hand behind his back, glove behind his back. He caught the ball. Freaked me out. This is like my first introduction to entertainment in baseball. Why don't they do this all the time in baseball? You know, they dance between, you know, the teams setting up and or on the sidelines.
The umpires are out involved there. And the whole team is involved and they get the fans going. Great way to watch baseball. Yeah.
Look how much more involved it is now, not just at the minor league parks, but even you go to American Family Field or Target Field, and they've now got stuff in the concourses, you know, for the kids to do.
Yes.
Maybe pitch a ball through, you know, past a radar gun or whatever. And how different it is then. I mean, if you still have to go to Wrigley or Fenway, these two things that were built in 1912, and how many generations of kids had to go there, and dad goes and he's got his little straw hat on and says, no, you're just going to watch the game. There's nothing else to do.
Exactly.
Nothing else. Just watch the game. We got it a lot easier now. There's a lot of distractions, to be sure, if you just want to watch the game. But I think most people welcome it. And like I said, Madison's got a great setup for it, as does Eau Claire.
Yes.
I like to make a tour of some of these others. I have not been to any of the others yet around Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Wausau, Appleton's got one. So if we can get Parker to work on that, maybe start doing some remotes from some of these minor league ballparks.
Do you want that?
That be fun?
Do you want a night game for me?
No.
Nights with Pat Kreitlow?
No, we're totally 6 a.m. You know, out there, and we're just talking to the groundskeepers, you know. Let them have all the fun stuff later in the day. We're talking to John and Gordy here from our Civic Media Station in Madison. A local update is coming up next for a couple of you. For others, we will continue conversing with John and Gordy. And then later, when we're all together 15 minutes from now, we are going to be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong about the state budget process, the process that could be more bipartisan, but some people don't want it to be more bipartisan. Live from the heart of America's up north here on Lake Wissota, thanks for spending part of your mornings up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Metnair on Air.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, continuing for a few more minutes with Yi Leng Zhang, Executive Director of New Beginnings for Refugees, continuing to talk about the concept of giving.
I think another story I want to share, and where I said with on the concept of giving, having faith here, was when General Ming Pao, who was known as the father of the Hmong community, he actually applied, when he did his test to become a soldier, he actually failed it. But the sergeant just basically allowed him to go through because the sergeant wanted said that he had faith in that individual and allowed him to become a soldier. And when he became a soldier, he became one of the most influential Hmong leader in history of the Hmong community. I think it goes back to this, is that many of the individuals that we're working with, they're talented individuals. All they want to do is live, work, and also do what they can here to live the American dream. And we need to give each other grace and support one another so that they can have that opportunity as well.
To you, what is the American dream?
That's a great question. Sometimes I ask myself that question, but I also tell myself that it's basically to live the dreams, to be the dreams that my parents always dream of. My parents, when they came to America here, I think when they were crossing the Mekong River, they never thought that their son would be an elected official, a local elected official.
Many times over.
They never thought that I would be heading the Hmong American Center for 10 years. They never thought that I would be now the executive director of a local nonprofit that helps refugees. They never thought that I would sit on a statewide government organizations and meeting folks that are incredible, from Republicans to Democrats, and being able to see individuals from both sides. this is a dream. You know, I'm living the my parents' wildest dream, and I think that's what the American dream is for me.
Put that governmental hat on for you, because there's so many hats I got here for you to wear. Obviously, you were hoping to be part of this budget process when you ran for the state assembly, but you are knee-deep in learning about all these issues. You're knee-deep in it over the years and up to this point with school board duties, with county board duties. You've been around the block for a long time, and you know what's going on here. And there's obviously right now, it feels as though a bit of a quagmire when it comes to trying to get a budget done. What are you taking away, I guess, generally to start off with what you're hearing concerning, well, they're talking, then they're not talking, then walking away, then we're walking back. What's your overall take on where we stand right now?
Yeah, so my thoughts is, you know, obviously being on the school board, I was disappointed to see the proposed bill, you know, the proposed budget for funding for education was not what we were expecting. We wanted to see more additional funding, obviously, here, because we do see the need for it. I mean, that's just this past election, if I recall, several dozens of schools went to referenda trying to seek funding to ensure to keep their schools open. And you know, I think it's going to have to be something that we have to consider as well too, is that we want to make sure that we're keeping our schools open because they are the center of our communities, and we want to make sure that our legislators are focused on that. But I also want us to, you know, when I was running for office, one of the things I realized when I was knocking on doors that people talked a lot about making sure that you know, there's a tax cut to a middle class, you know, making sure that we're taking care and addressing the child care crisis and addressing health care. Those are things that impacts daily people, and we need to keep that at the forefront when we're going through this whole budget process here. And I'm really encouraging our state legislators to focus on what the needs of our communities are.
Mm-hmm. You've obviously had a lot of negotiations in your different roles. If you were to give some advice to Democrats in Madison right now, even to the governor, hey, even the lieutenant governor when she stops on by, what piece of advice would you give during these very tense moments where there's a lot on the line for people in their everyday lives? Based on your experiences, what kind of advice would you give to those who are currently involved in trying to get the best budget possible for the state of Wisconsin?
Great question. And I think I would also add advice to my Republican friends as well.
Absolutely, because I know you said it all the time that you do. You will talk across the aisle to whoever it may be in order to help the people of your communities.
Exactly.
And the state and the country, as I've said.
One of my mentors directed me to this quote, and I'm going to share it because I use this quote with a lot of my youth I mentor as well, too. It is, never speak when you're angry, never make promises when you're happy, and never make decisions when you're sad. And I think that's the advice I would give to our elected officials. And also, I would add, listen. Listen to one another. Listen to understand, not listen to respond.
Based on, because so much of what gets done or does not get done is based on public sentiment. I think people underestimate a lot about where the public is in terms of then elected officials do listen. And I got to say that in recent weeks, I have started to sense that some of the policies that have been pushed by, I would call it the far right of the Republican Party, are getting pushed back against. Are you sensing that? And do you expect that maybe some of our Republican friends are going to listen to that? Because in the end, they want to keep their jobs too, don't they?
I think what I would say is I think elected officials on both sides are starting to realize that they need to work together, because I think their constituents are getting tired of the gridlock that's happening. They're getting tired of the blaming. They're getting tired of the criticizing one another. What they want is real, tangible results. They want pragmatic solutions to issues and problems. And one of the individuals I have to always acknowledge as well, too, and I give him a lot of credit locally, would be John Robinson. You know, he does a phenomenal job at, you know, working with both sides, working with people, talking to individuals, and coming with pragmatic solutions. You know, I think individuals, you know, we need to realize that you can't do a bill and a plan is only as good as what the people that makes it, and oftentimes it's a lot stronger when you get views from and perception from both sides.
Absolutely. Well, I guess to wrap it up, let's go right back to the beginning, because one of the big reasons is because it's such a big night, this open house and volunteer event, again, for folks that give your invitation again, because I know that you'd love to see a lot of people go through your doors here this evening.
Yeah, so I want to invite everybody to come on and join us tonight, Monday, June 23rd, 2025, from 5 to 7 at the New Beginnings office for our open house and volunteer appreciation event. There'll be a variety of food from different ethnics and groups. So I encourage all of you to join us to hear Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez's speech, to meet Dave Calloway, and to meet the incredible volunteers and our new neighbors, and get to learn about one another here so that we can truly, truly embrace the strengths in our community here and support one another to experience that American dream.
Yilin Zhang, Executive Director, New Beginnings for Refugees, get on over there today from 5 until 7 p.m. for their open house. More of Pat Kreitlow coming up next on 98.9 WXCO.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlow. Milwaukee Public Schools is facing another deadline. Stuart J. Waddles tells us more.
The district must submit a plan by Tuesday to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services on how it will prevent further lead problems. Milwaukee Public Schools was recently fined more than $6,000 after state inspectors found 13 new instances of noncompliance at schools. District leaders say they're addressing the issues and working with contractors to ensure that all buildings are safe for students by the start of the next school year.
And lawmakers are considering a pollinator protection package of bills, which could lead to the regulation of insecticide use across the state. Terry Barr has the details.
A loss of habitat, disease, and pesticides continues to lead to the decline of our bees and butterflies. These pollinators contribute significantly to our food supply and crops worth billions of dollars in Wisconsin.
We need everybody to kind of come together and be like, pesticide, number one, has been bad for pollinators. And number two, it doesn't appear to be totally effective in terms of increasing crop yield. So it may not be great to use from a financial standpoint for farmers. So how do we come together and address this problem?
Amy Berrio is with Clean Wisconsin and says a new group made up of environmental and agriculture advocates is working to educate residents about what's known as neonic pesticides. It's similar to putting nicotine on your plants. They are also speaking out in support of these pollinator protection bills.
And some state organizations have received a portion of funding for habitat restoration and conservation projects along the Great Lakes. Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Administration announced over $750,000 in total funding from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration for the projects. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Danny Boyle is back with the release of 28 Years Later, his long-awaited third installment of the 28 Days franchise. In a recent article in Variety, the Slumdog Millionaire Oscar-winning director says, due to cultural appropriation, he probably couldn't direct a film like Slumdog Millionaire nowadays, but says he's okay with that and that he would want a young Indian director to have that opportunity to tell the story. What a cool dude. Boyle's other credits include Trainspotting and 127 Hours. Timothy Oliphant is on a roll. The star of Justified has a new show on Apple TV Plus called Lucky, where he stars opposite Anna Taylor-Joy. But Oliphant wasn't done. He still managed to find room in his calendar to join the cast of another Apple show called Stick, alongside Owen Wilson. The Emmy-nominated Oliphant will next be seen in FX's Alien Earth, which drops in August, and he will join a new Peacock show called Five Star Weekend. Cha-ching. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy. It's going to be warm and muggy again today with a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. And a couple of those could be strong to severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Be weather aware later today. High in the mid to upper 80s, but the heat index will be well into the 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 76.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. go-to for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome the Green Bay Automobile Gallery's Daryl Burnett. And we rank our all-time favorite summer blockbuster movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
We may have set some kind of a record in the comment sections today. Now, a lot of it has to do with the attack on Iran over the weekend, with people going back and forth about what was constitutional or not, and other stuff, let's just say. Not everybody plays nice in the comment section, if you know what I'm saying. So every so often, it's a little tougher to sift through and find these things. But here from Tony up here, Pat needs a backlight to separate him from his fancy new bookshelf. If we're critiquing, it's hard to separate his black headphones from his black bookcase. Well, Tony, let me grab my fancy new remote control here, and let's try that.
Ooh, look at that.
Look at that. We got it's not like high intensity backlighting, but it's not nothing. So
it appears that you're missing a light.
I am missing a light. I am.
Okay.
Here's the problem with IKEA.
With IKEA? Oh, boy. Yeah.
So I ordered all this online. I had it delivered, and I saw the lights up here. They look really nice.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you that if you do more than three lights, you need a separate little power adapter thingy.
Gotcha.
So I have to go looking up the power adapter thingy, and then I can put up, you know, the fourth light that goes there. That's but thank you for noticing. Now it's going to bug everybody when they look at this.
I like to have attention to detail.
Well, that you got. So there, we've taken care of that. It's a Monday morning. It's June 23rd. Appreciate you having you here, and we appreciate State Representative Francesca Hong, who's joining us as well to give us a bit of an update on the state budget. Busy being, you know, mom in the meantime. And is it summer camp season now?
Yes, today is the first day of camp, and of course he did well, and I just had to hover real quick to see if he was all good.
Aw.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier, I had a daughter staying with me over the weekend, and the two little ones, ages 6 and 3, and they left, you know, mid-show here, which is really tough because they're, you know, doing hugs and squeezes and kisses and everything. I'm like, just go. I can't cry on the radio. Just stop it. So I get it. You know, we got to take care of family, especially your job, which has demands in all the weirdest times. You know, you never know when you got to go knock doors or go to a fundraiser or, I don't know, pass some legislation, which would be great to do if you all could get a chance to. But you shared a clip recently of some committee interaction and how the committee chair just really wants to micromanage the conversation in a way that avoids talking about all of the things that go into a state budget. It's not just about, you know, tax cuts for the well-off, but there's healthcare, there's education, there's all these things that are necessary. And, you know, you were simply trying to, I think, make the point that we have a very interconnected budget if you're willing to make those connections.
Well, I think, first of all, I was responding to testimony from the bill authors regarding a bill that would have removed reoccurring referenda. And so I thought that was a really great segue and would give me an opportunity to build some context around what would be driving the need for schools to go to referenda. And the chair of the committee, Representative Joel Kitchens, felt as though that was not pertaining to the bill, interrupted me multiple times. And even though I tried to reframe the question and add additional context, he accused me of trying to always twist the conversation, but especially when Republicans are saying things like historic investments in school and these increasing budgets, that's just not true. And the latest votes that happened in the Joint Committee of Finance executive session last week, the Republican motion included $0 increase in state aid or equalization aid for K-12 public schools. This has not happened since, 2011, when Scott Walker administration actually decreased the state aid to K-12 public schools. So it's incredibly unprecedented. I don't love using that word because it's not surprising that the Republicans have very little interest in actually taking care of our kids. But I think it's important for folks to know that what they are presenting in their motions is wholly inadequate. And in addition to the $0 state aid increase, we're talking about 37% special education reimbursement, where remember that is for private schools where public tax dollars are going to voucher schools, they receive 90% reimbursement for the state for their special education costs. And so we're pitting students against one another. And in a time where we should be ensuring that every child has their needs met, and opportunities to thrive, we're picking and choosing how to fund our schools and really pitting our communities against one another too, when we're forcing taxpayers to raise their own property taxes because the state refuses to fully and adequately fund our schools.
As you were trying to make these points and getting interrupted, I thought of the time when Elizabeth Warren was trying to do the same thing in the Senate and actually was disciplined for continuing to speak, and the phrase "yet she persisted" came into the lexicon, and I immediately thought of that watching you do this, because all I thought you were trying to do, and this is I'm putting words in your mouth here, was to want to say to the Republicans, okay, look, you don't want these recurring referendums, so you could maybe better fund the schools, right? So that we don't need the referendums. And I just wanted one of them to go, oh, no, we don't want to fund schools. We just don't want you guys to have any more referendums. I mean, at least be honest with folks that way, that's what this bill is really all about. You just don't like that pesky democracy breaking out.
And we were presenting alternatives and solutions that, again, would eliminate the need to go to referenda. And unfortunately, having a conversation about inadequate public school funding is one that Republicans will continue to evade because it's something that their communities, people in their district, are demanding. And we saw that with testimony from all across the state, where Wisconsinites showed up to tell Republicans and Democrats on the Committee on Joint Finance what their communities need, that we need a budget that reflects our morals, our values, our needs. And unfortunately, the Republicans refused to listen, especially, and they showed that in their budget motion.
And so I've drawn some parallels to what we're seeing in Congress as well. And it seems like you have more demand than ever for bipartisanship, or at least an attempt to talk to one another. Mm-hmm. And yet in both Washington, D.C. and Madison, you see a side of the aisle that is going out of its way to cut Democrats out of the conversation. And I mean, look, I know there's a lot of people that favor this guy who'd love to bring autocracy to the country, but we are not a land of one party rule yet. And yet it seems like it's really too much to ask that, you know, if they're going to need Democratic votes to pass a budget, maybe they would let you get a word in edgewise before they, you know, implode amongst themselves and can't pass a budget.
Well, Democrats are going to continue to fight for the needs of Wisconsinites and talk about what people are actually asking for in the state budget and how we use their tax dollars. And they're asking for investments in childcare to make childcare services fully more affordable and available for communities across the state, especially our rural communities. We need to be paying childcare educators, making sure providers have what they need to stay open. They're asking for increases, actually demanding increases in public education, both K-12 and higher ed. And instead, Republicans responded with, we're going to do an $87 million cut to the universities of Wisconsin. And so Republicans can I think they really are in disarray. And while we wait for them to get their act together, even though I would like to replace that word with something else. Yes. Democrats are going to continue to talk about what Wisconsinites want and are demanding of their government, of their representation. And so folks can talk about bipartisanship in terms of working together, but when the other side has continuously left the negotiating table, when they were left conversations with the governor, I think it's really important that we show people who they are. And who they are folks who refuse to listen to their communities. And so we as Democrats have a deep responsibility to ensure that our message is clear, that we are listening to Wisconsinites. We are going to continue to fight for them. And we have no problem going in to communities whose representatives are not listening and talking about how we can collectively fight back and do better for our communities.
We're talking to State Representative Francesca Hong, and here's where we get into some speculation. And again, I'm happy to be accused of overthinking something. But you've got a couple of Republican senators already saying that they're not going to vote for the thing that appears to be coming out of the Joint Finance Committee. So in theory, it could get to the point where Republicans don't have enough votes amongst themselves to pass a budget. And you see some reporters writing, well, they may have to go get, you know, one or two votes from the Democratic side of things. And my contention has been that this is very likely just a head fake. This just clears the path for them to say, you know, we can't agree amongst themselves and we don't want to talk to Democrats, so we're just not going to pass a budget. That there's, for some folks, there may not even be an interest in passing a budget because, you know, spending just continues at the current budget level and they don't have to make any tough choices. Is that wildly speculative? Am I wildly overthinking this, or is a no budget a possibility?
Pat, I always appreciate you being thoughtful and analytical. I wouldn't say it's overthinking. It's unfortunate that we are debating on passing a budget that Republicans have presented. This is the Republican budget that they themselves are not agreeing on, that again does the needs of Wisconsinites. I think it's important that we pass a budget that at least makes sure that we are funding public education, childcare, higher education, that we are not opening any new prisons. I think it's important to continue the conversation about Green Bay. Yes, our budget will, the previous session budget will carry over if the budget is not signed as legislation by June 30th. But I also think we have a responsibility to give the governor courage and support to reject a budget that refuses to, that does not meet the needs of Wisconsinites. I think especially with the impending federal cuts and what this big dumb bill that is being worked on and that the Senate most likely will be voting on this week in the reconciliation bill. It's imperative that the state do everything we can to ensure that communities have what they need to take care of our constituents. And so I think in addition to the fact that maybe Democrats and Republicans in the Senate are having conversations, a budget that is presented to the governor needs to be one that includes investments in childcare, K-12 education, higher education, even though we haven't seen the governor reject the budget in full, this is a much different political climate, mm-hmm. and I would hope we can continue to have that conversation about how we need to fight for a budget that reflects the needs and meets the needs of Wisconsinites.
And now you see why people like Alicia have comments like Representative Hong has the patience of a saint. And we, not the vocabulary necessarily, but the patience. And that's the thing that's important. Fran, thank you so much for taking time out for talking to us in the middle of a busy family day. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Always happy to be here. Thanks so much, Pat.
All right. Jane Mattinair tells us what's coming up next on her program. A local update for the rest of you, all here on our mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:52. It is a warm start here in north central Wisconsin. From our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau, partly sunny skies, temperature of 80 degrees. Along with Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes, and I don't think we've had a moment during this program where we've been on the air and we said it's 80 degrees.
No, it definitely means
I can't remember summertime.
I know it. Sure.
Very hot over the weekend. Were you able to do anything over the weekend, or just try to stay out of trouble?
Well, I tried to stay out of trouble for the most part. I was able to, you know, stay cool and hydrated on Saturday, but on Sunday I got to help out with a wave 100.5 because they were covering a powerboat races up in the Bluegill Park and Rib, a mountain. However, because of the wind, which was the only good thing about Sunday, because if it wasn't windy, it would definitely be insufferable. But because of the wind conditions, the event for Sunday was canceled.
Oh, really?
Well, first it was delayed, and then they were testing it, and they just decided to cancel it. So I got to, you know, help them take down all the equipment. But by the time I got done, I was hot. I was
dehydrated. I was sore. Mm. I had to go home, drink two bottles of water, and then I jump in a cold shower right away.
Yeah.
I didn't have much energy that night, but
yesterday,
I'm feeling better now.
Yesterday evening, I went and watched some 7-on-7 football. They have 7-on-7 football leagues over at DC Everest, where area high schools, it's called a passing league. Basically, it's just, quarterbacks, backs, receivers, and it's not tackle, it's no pads, and they just throw the ball around. They basically run, passing drills. It's sort of getting reps. It's not games, it's just reps. And seeing those guys run around when it's 90 degrees out there, to be young, just standing outside, it was very, very hot. And the thing about it over the weekend is we didn't have, severe weather. And listening to Brittany Merlot earlier this morning with Pat Kreitlow talking about how there is the potential this afternoon, including here in central Wisconsin, that we could get some severe weather, even tornadic activity. So make sure you keep it tuned in right here, as we will keep you up to speed on any severe weather that comes through the area as well. Because when it's hot weather, you start to put it all together, and sometimes late in the day, we see some of those thunderstorms, severe thunderstorms, and even tornadic activity. And we'll keep an eye on that as we continue into the day as well, as we start off another new work week, as we get closer and closer to the end of June. And as we get to the end of June, this is month number 6 of the year. And by the end of this month, it will be halfway through 2025. Whew. Is that amazing? It's like...
That is amazing.
I mean, it just feels like time is flying so by.
Flies on by.
I've said it before. I keep looking down by my feet for a brake pedal.
Yeah,
because I want to slow things down, because especially as you get as old as I am, you're still young, but to get as old as I am, all of a sudden you want things to slow down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just flying on by, but hopefully you're getting out there enjoying some of the summer activities. And we are watching here in downtown the continuing progress being made on the construction. The roads appear to be
along very nicely.
Yeah, I think this get some paint out there, get some lines drawn, and getting very close. And of course, the foundry on 3rd across the way continuing to get closer and closer. It'll be very interesting to see once that is completed and when all is said and done, what kind of changes it will mean for here in downtown Wausau.
Absolutely. I'm willing to predict the foundry on 3rd will hopefully be done by the end of the summer.
Well, they're coming along, I tell you. And and one thing you always notice this time of year is you have a lot of road construction, a lot of construction as a whole. Man, I do not envy the people that work in 90 plus degree weather. I mean, it's just amazing the hard work, and I hope everybody appreciates what they do in order to get these projects done.
Absolutely. I mean, they work all those hours making our roads safer, and they definitely deserve a special recognition for that.
Absolutely. Excuse me. Absolutely. It is time to start off another week of our number for the day quiz.
Yes.
Last week you had a winning week. You had 3 out of 5 correct. That's always a very, very impressive thing to do, because basically anything above 33% is a passing grade, because you get 3 choices every day, one of which is correct, 2 of which are incorrect. Not easy. So we're going to start off a new week and see if you can get another winning week here.
Yes. And even start off on the right foot.
Try to get that second perfect week as well.
Oh, that would be nice.
But last night was the final game of the NBA Finals, as Oklahoma City defeated Indiana to win the NBA Finals. It was game number 7. When the TV numbers come out, probably in the next day or two, I expect that there'll be a big audience for the final game.
Nice.
But the number for the day is, what is the all-time record audience for an NBA Finals game on TV?
All time.
Record audience. The largest audience for an NBA Finals game. It came back in game number 6 of the 1998 NBA Finals between the Bulls and the Jazz. Michael Jordan hit a game-winning shot right at the end of the game to pull it out for Chicago. And that was the most watched NBA game in history. What was the audience for the Game 6 of the 1998 NBA Finals?
What are my choices?
Your choices are 25.89 million viewers, 35.89 million viewers, 45.89 million viewers. So 25, 35, or 45.89 million viewers. All-time record.
Not billion.
Million viewers. Yep. 25, 35, or 45.89 million viewers.
The all-time record audience. Okay, I'm going to say, just going with my gut here. Final guess, I'm going to say 35.89 million is the record audience for 1998.
All right.
Final answer, 35.
Game number six of the 1998 NBA Finals had a record 35.89 million nice. Viewers tuned in. So
start off on the right foot.
One for one this week. Very awesome. Good. All right. Well, stay cool. Stay safe here with the weather coming in later today.
You too, Chad. Happy Monday, everybody.
We'll be back tomorrow morning between 7 and 9. But coming up next, it is Matt and Air on Air here on 98.9 WX.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House is trying to tamp down concerns after President Trump talked about regime change following Saturday's U.S. strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities. Spokeswoman Caroline Levitt.
The president's posture and our military posture has not changed. The president was just simply raising a question that I think many people around the world are asking.
Rafael Grossi is director general of the UN's nuclear watchdog.
We have a window of opportunity to return to dialogue and diplomacy. If that window closes, violence and destruction could reach unthinkable levels.
An oppressive heat wave is creeping east. These two are in Milwaukee.
I'm not a fan. It's really hot out. It's really sticky, and 70 would be nice.
I would rather have extreme hot. The older I get, the harder it is to get warm.
It'll get up to around 88 there today. The high for New York City, 97, and it could hit 99 in New York and Philadelphia tomorrow. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.